Shabbat shalom, chavarim.
Shabbat shalom.
Good to see you this morning.
Good to see you.
Smiling faces, bright eyes, joyful voices, open hearts. Over the past several weeks, we have been focused on the characteristics of a faithful, obedient follower of the Most High Elohim, Adonai Yeshua. We have discussed such issues as being anchored in Jehovah's promises, courage and boldness, passion for Jehovah and His Word, and various integral qualities such as integrity, obedience, and trust. In this Shabbat message, Jehovah has asked me to focus on how these come together in our ongoing struggle with the Jerichos of our lives, those obstacles which get in the way of drawing ever closer to Him and becoming more intimate with Him while still being in the world. Abba Father, I pray that our hearts are open to Your message for us today. I pray, Abba, that You will allow us to integrate Your message into our daily lives, that what we do will always show fruit that what we do will glorify you. B'shem Yeshua Moshechenu. Amen and amen. We have all heard the story of Jericho. We know the Israelites crossed into the Promised Land and were ordered by Jehovah to capture the city and cause its walls to collapse just by making a loud noise. This is where the story takes on a strange turn. In the Middle East of those days, there were very few options available to those who were besieging a city. They could conduct a frontal attack and attempt to tear down the walls by brute force, or they could starve the people into submission. The first approach often worked well if the city was not securely fortified, or if there were chinks in the stone armor surrounding the city. This was not the case with Jerusalem, that is, until the time of the Romans. When the Assyrians and the Babylonians attacked Jerusalem, they laid siege for periods of months. Then, when the city fell, the temple was pillaged and the walls were torn down from the inside out. But this didn't occur until after the presiding king surrendered his city. Jericho was not a city which could have been easily demolished by brute force. In Joshua 3, we read of the Israelites crossing over the Jordan from the east and entering into what we now know as Israel. As we read in Deuteronomy 6, this land was promised to Israel by Jehovah. Therefore, listen, Israel, and take care to obey so that things will go well with you, and so that you will increase greatly, as Adonai, the God of your ancestors, promised you by giving you a land flowing with milk and honey. This doesn't mean, of course, that the land was handed to them on a silver platter. Far from it. They had to take possession of the land. Israel had to take possession of Jehovah's promise. And that is the same with us. We need to claim possession of the promises given to us by El Elyon, God Most High. Rav Shaul in Romans 15 shares with us, everything written in the past was written to teach us, so that with the encouragement of the Tanakh, we might patiently hold on to our hope. We have confidence in the word of Jehovah. His is the word of truth, and we draw strength from it. We also learn from his word spoken into our lives. Many would claim we take possession of his promises by simply relying on our faith and his grace. This is true. However, for a good many believers, they fail to understand the responsibility they have been given within these words. Each day we are faced with choices. Choices to step forward, or step back, or stay put. Advance, retreat, or avoid. Many have forgotten or were never taught, faith is trust in action. When we are given a promise by Jehovah, we have been given the right to seize that promise and run with it. Failure to do so shows timidity in the faith we have, a lack of trust in Him and His promises. The first obstacle to the promises Jehovah gave Israel was the city-state of Jericho, as we find in Joshua 1. Jericho had completely barricaded its gates against the people of Israel. No one left and no one entered. Let's take a moment and look at the excavated remains of the walls of this ancient city. You will notice how thick they are. The walls of Jericho, archaeologists have discovered, were 11 feet high and 14 feet wide. Not only that, they sloped upwards from the 11-foot mark to a pinnacle of 35 feet. For the Israelites, they were impenetrable. These were walls which could not have been torn down by the flimsy tools the Israelites had with them. Jehovah had not told Joshua to lay siege to the city. He said to destroy the city. How were mere mortals to do what seemed impossible? When we lay claim to the promises of El Shaddai, Almighty God, we immediately face obstacles, things, events, or people placed in our way, designed by the adversary to prevent us from fully claiming his promises. Sometimes the obstacles are tests by Jehovah himself to build our trust and give us increased confidence in his ability to do the impossible. This is the test Israel faced. Listen to Jehovah's command to Yehoshua, recorded in Joshua 1. I have handed Jericho over to you, including its king and his warriors. You are to encircle the city with all your soldiers and march around it once. Do this for 6 days. 7 Kohanim are to carry 7 shofars in front of the ark. On the 7th day, you are to march around the city 7 times, and the Kohanim will blow the shofars. They are to blow a long blast of the shofar. On hearing the sound of the shofar, all the people are to shout as loudly as they can, and the wall of the city will fall down flat. Then the people are to go up into the city, each one straight from where he stands. Notice the strategy laid out for Joshua. March around the city, being very quiet, not uttering a sound, for 6 days. Now, I don't know about you, but I would find it very, very difficult to walk anywhere around anything and not say a word. I mean, that would be testing my patience severely. And they were to carry the Ark of the Covenant. Then on the 7th day, they were to march around the city 7 times, and the priests were to blow their horns constantly. On the 7th pass, the priests would blow Tekilah Gedolah, the longest sustained blast they were capable of blowing, a minimum of 10 seconds for each blast. And the people of Israel marching around the city are to shout as loudly as possible. Now, dear friends, is this a military strategy you would find in the book of Sun Tzu, the great Chinese military strategist of the spring and autumn period in Chinese history? Would you find this strategy in the hands of King David when he went up against the Philistines? Or would you find this strategy in the playbook of General MacArthur? This was not the strategy of man, but the strategy of Elohim Tzivaot. This was a miraculous, supernatural military strategy designed to show the known world the power of Israel's God.
Amen.
Now, think of the strategies Jehovah has placed before you when faced with your Jericho. Do you accept them as being absurd or foolish? Or do we, on faith, entrust step forward to do what he asks of us. Every time he wants us to learn something new, Jehovah will present us with a challenge, an assault on all out assumptions and beliefs. When this happens, we are faced with a challenge. Do we accept the challenge and engage in the new learning he has for us? Or do we cringe at the thought of abandoning our long-held beliefs and assumptions, figuring we are too old, too stuck in our ways, too tired, too afraid to move forward? This, beloved, is where we are called to be strong in him. Can you imagine what might have happened had Joshua questioned Jehovah's orders? Even though these orders may have sounded foolish, Joshua and the people followed them to the letter. And as we know, the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, each one straight ahead of him, and they captured the city. They completely destroyed everything in the city with the sword. So let's examine what the destruction of Jericho teaches us today in the 21st century. First, we have the lesson of obedience in the face of obstacles to our seizing his promises. One of the clear messages for us is for obedience to his word. Even when the word seems foolish to our ears, brings victory. Scripture helps us with this understanding. In Hebrews 10, we read, "Let us continue holding fast to the hope we acknowledge without wavering, for the one who made the promise is trustworthy." Do we, you and I, have any question as to the trustworthiness of our great Abba? If we have the slightest doubt in the veracity of his promises, we forfeit those promises. We forfeit victory. Every day, we must acknowledge his omnipotence and claim the strength he offers us. Every day, we need to surrender our will to his in joy and triumph, realizing his strength is brought together in our weaknesses.
לפניך אני משתחווה על בוקאי, נותן לך סמכות על כל ימי, אהלל אותך לנצח כי אתה אדוני, תעלב אותך ישועה שמחת חיי. קדוש, קדוש, קדוש אתה, קדוש, קדוש אתה, קדוש, קדוש, קדוש אתה, קדוש, קדוש אתה. לילה, 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 before you, Lord, I'm down on my knees, giving you all my days, my God, my King. I will praise you forever, Lord, for you are Adonai. You alone, Yeshua, are the joy of my life. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh Ata. Kadosh, Kadosh Ata. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh Ata.
How do we know if we are following his commands? This is not a trick question, beloved, but one asked every day by believers. How do I know if I am following his commands? Well, as we have discussed here in Chavarim many, many times, he has given us life instructions, an owner's manual called Torah. If we follow the command which apply to us today, we will have confidence we are in his will. How do we know which commands apply to us today? First, we must read them. That's a tricky one. For many of us have been taught there are only 9 commands we must follow, known as the 9 commandments, number 4 being changed from Shabbat to Sunday. Well, this is our homework, dear ones, to read Torah, the 5 books of Moshe, at the very least. Here we will find commands just for priests, others for those living in Israel alone, and still others only followed in the temple. That leaves us with only a few commands, which when we follow them, we will be under his protection. I find it interesting many, if not most, true believers have read 1 John 5, verse 3, which states, for loving God means obeying his commands, yet refuse to believe his commands are to be found in Torah. Well, knowing full well the apostolic scriptures, incorrectly labeled the New Testament, was not written at the time this commanding piece of scripture was written, where else would God's commands be found? Do we truly understand the principle, Jehovah's ways are not man's ways? Sometimes I wonder. In a recent book, Joseph Stowell, the president of Cornerstone University, wrote of the burden of legalism and ritualistic religiosity, claiming it is fatally flawed in at least 10 ways. First, new laws continually need to be invented for new situations. Can you think then of the 300 to 500,000 fence laws that rabbis have written over the last few hundred years because new situations arise? Secondly, accountability to God is replaced by accountability to men. So we are told by the rabbis, we don't go to God's word, we go to the words of the rabbis. Thirdly, a person's ability to personally discern is reduced. We lose the ability to think for ourselves. Fourthly, judgmental spirits are created. Fifthly, personal preferences are confused with divine law. Six, inconsistencies are produced. Seven, false standards of righteousness are created. Eight, the multitude of fence laws created by men have become a burden on the Jewish people. And oh, don't I know that? I hear that every day at the Rady Center. Oh, vey, what I have to do today. It's getting close to Pesach, and look what I have to do. Or Shavuot is coming, and I'm not ready. Nine, they are strictly external and have very little to do with the internal. And finally, legalism and ritualistic religiosity were rejected by Adonai Yeshua. This is not saying Torah has been abolished. On the contrary, Stowell's list strengthens the understanding Torah forms the boundaries of our relationship with Jehovah, the ruler of the universe, and the lover of our souls. And it is in the statement of boundaries of that relationship we enjoy with Jehovah, our eternal Father, that we find his ways clearly enumerated. Trust, promise, strength, courage, grace, and oh yes, love. A second and equally important issue emerging from the conquest of Jericho is the understanding of Jehovah's supernatural powers do not need to be understood by man. He doesn't need our understanding in order to use his omnipotent powers. He's not going to come to me and say, oh, Michael, can I save that person? Or Michael, may I bring ruin to this evil city? And I don't have to understand why he does things. Glory, hallelujah, I am just asked to accept them. Psalm 18 provides us a glimpse of his unfathomable powers, as David writes about Jehovah's anger towards his enemies. Jehovah also thundered in heaven. Ha Elyon, the God of might, sounded his voice, hailstones and fiery coals. He sent out arrows and scattered them, shot out lightning and routed them. Adding to this is the pronouncement of the prophet Daniel, recorded in his fourth chapter. No one can hold back his hand or ask him, "What are you doing?" And then in Job 38, we face his condemnation for even thinking we understand the breadth of his power. Where were you when I founded the earth? Tell me if you know so much. Do you know who determined its dimensions or who stretched the measuring line across it? Clearly, the walls of Jericho fell not by the power of man, but by the power of Adonai Elohim Tzavaoth, the one who wields the degree of supernatural power to accomplish such a feat. And here is the lesson for us all. We are unable to cause the collapse of our own Jerichos. Only he, the ruler of the universe and the lover of our souls, has the power to do that. Amen. Or we may fool ourselves into believing we have the power, and we may even be able to dislodge enough stones to convince ourselves the walls have collapsed. But we will be confronted with the sheer obstinacy of thick, impenetrable obstacles once again. Oh, the futility of humankind's delusions of power. Amen. Oh, how these delusions come back to haunt us. A third lesson we may learn from the story of power is the uncompromising relationship for each one of us with Jehovah. We receive his grace if we but trust him and walk in obedience. Rav Shaul, whom I believe is the author of the Epistle of Hebrews, writes, "By trusting, the walls of Jericho fell down after the people had marched around them for 7 days. And he did this for them, not because of their faithfulness, which proved illusory, but for the love he had for his people. And he does that for us today, even though he knows we will fail him time and time again." The Apostle John reported this reality to us very clearly in his third chapter. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only and unique Son, so that everyone who trusts in him may have eternal life and not be utterly destroyed." His death on that cursed tree gave us permission to trust the only one who is trustworthy. As we are told time and time again, Jehovah does not change, and neither do his promises. We can trust him implicitly and receive his grace, which will carry us through the most arduous of trials. Yet many who call themselves his children continue to persist in claiming doing anything after being saved constitutes works righteousness. How foolish of these not to realize the walls of the city of Jericho did not fall without Israel stepping out in obedience. And this is true for us, beloved, as well. In order for the walls of our Jerichos to fall, we must step out in obedience before the walls come down and display not only to him, but to the world as well, our trust in El Shaddai, Almighty God, We have been given the privilege of producing fruit for him through our obedience. If we choose not to become active following his free gift of salvation, then we are, in effect, rejecting his gift. This is not what we want to do. We do not want the walls of our Jericho to grow even thicker and stronger, holding even more secure against our vain attempts to pull them down by our own strength. Dear ones, I urge you to recognize he is the only one who has the power, the strength, and knowledge to break through the walls of the obstacles waiting on our life paths. I urge all of us to get on our knees before him, surrendering our wills to him each and every day, relying on him, the all-powerful one, to break down the walls of our Jerichos. Abba, Father, our mighty Jehovah, the one true Father who loves us beyond the ability of our feeble minds to comprehend. We come before you today offering ourselves as living sacrifices to Shelach Shem Kadosh, your holy name. We come before you with powerful walls of obstacle and hurdle, blocking us from fulfilling the joy, promise, and the hope that lies before us. Give each one of us strength to step forward, to march around those walls as many times as you command, knowing you will bring down those walls, allowing us to move forward in your will. In your beloved, in your precious name, we pray. Amen.